It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
2 weeks from today, the eclipse will be happening here in Charleston, South Carolina. And of course, we're expecting, about a million people to come into the state. And I was talking with Brad Franco on Friday on my hit over there at News 2. And you may not notice all of these people coming in because they're all going to be kind of trickling in. However, when everybody gets ready to leave, that's going to be a mess. That's going to be an absolute mess. So they're expecting, wherever you are that day on, 2 weeks from today on Monday, you will be there for a while. Well, let's just put it that way. So, but putting that aside, there are some very cool things that you need to look for. Now, I just posted this on my WTMA page, the WTMA's Facebook page, and on Twitter and all that. And so it's up everywhere. But here's a couple things that I thought I had no idea, because I don't remember the last time that I saw a total eclipse of the sun. But a little while before totality, we're talking about a minute to a minute and a half before totality, go to a tree. Go to a tree. Look down on the ground at the shadow of the tree on the ground. You will see hundreds of little crescent moons on the ground, because the moon or the tree is actually going to be acting like a pinhole camera, projecting the image of the eclipse on the ground. That's right now, that's the thing I want to see. Other than the eclipse itself, that's what I want to see. I think that's going to be absolutely fascinating. Also, about 90 seconds before totality or after totality, look at any flat, light-colored or white surfaces around you. You're going to see something that's really strange. They're going to be dark lines called shadow bands. Shadow bands that are going to be racing back and forth across the surface. They're caused by the sunlight peeking around the mountains and through the valleys on the outer rim of the moon. That is going to be absolutely phenomenal. That is really going to be cool. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening with this eclipse. It's going to become dark as night during totality. The stars are going to pop out. You're going to be able to see Venus and Mercury. Now, Mercury always kind of follows the sun. And I love when people say, well, that's Mercury. Well, if it's not near the sun, then it's not Mercury. Understand that. It's going to become dark as night. The cicadas are going to start singing. The birds are going to start getting ready to roost for the night. It's going to be fantastic. Also, Sirius, not the satellite radio, the dog star is going to show itself as a very bright star southwest of the sun. In fact, Sirius is the second brightest star in our sky after the sun. And if we're lucky, there are going to be some eruptions of the sun that we can't see at any other time. It is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Steve's in Hanahan. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay. And, of course, it's ushering in the end of time, Charlie. You forgot that.
Well, yeah. Okay, Steve. What's up?
No, you mentioned the traffic. I guess all great minds think alike. This is one thing that occurred to me, and you mentioned a while ago people trickling in and then the exit. I started thinking this is going to be, maybe, I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. This is going to be, and they need to get the message out to the world. If you've never been involved in a hurricane evacuation, you've got a treat ahead of you, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be something like that, yeah. Everybody's going to be leaving.
Florida during bowl season when 95 right. just stops,
Yeah.
It is. I expect, like you said, to be a nightmare. I wouldn't want to be involved in that for anything.
No.
Obviously, see it from my house, and you can too. But,
oh, yeah.
But for these people who think they're, okay, that's over, let's go home now.
Yeah, you're not just going to be jumping at you.
Some food, you know.
You're not going to jump in your car and just take off and head back home. Because at all these people. I mean, most of them, the vast majority of them, got to go to work on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So they got to get out of there.
A million people, and a lot of them is going to be right here at the coast is McClellanville ground zero or something?
McClellanville is going to be the last place on the East Coast that you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, well, you, you can imagine what 17 is going to, not even mention the interstate.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be brutal. Going to be brutal.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
And a very good morning. 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday morning. We got a couple of tropical storms out there in the Atlantic. Neither one of them really expected to do a whole lot here. However, I do want to remind you that that doesn't mean we don't have one coming. You need to go online and download the WTMA Hurricane Guide. That's right, the Hurricane Guide. We want to make sure that you're ready. Download the Hurricane Preparedness Guide at WTMA.com. It's free, and it's got a lot of life-saving information there, and it's brought to you in part by Property Casualty Insurers Association of America, Jeff Cook Real Estate, and East Bay Deli. So get your Hurricane Guide right now at WTMA.com. Let's see. Coming up this morning, also, we're going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Now, I want to thank everybody that came out to Sweet Night with the River Dogs the other night. It was fantastic. We had such a great time there. Really, I was so pleased and happy to meet all of you folks that were able to come out. So keep listening after that. You know, whenever we do one of those Sweet Night with the River Dogs, it's always a lot of fun. So, I mean, it took a lot of pictures and said hey to everybody, and it really was a good time. Speaking of pictures, I took a little time this weekend and went online, and I said, I want to get me one of those solar filters for my camera so that I can take some, you know, I got one of those digital DSLRs. It's a Nikon. It's a pretty good camera. And I said, I got a 300-millimeter lens on it, zoom lens. I said, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get some video and take some pictures of this eclipse. And I was sitting there, I was looking at it, and I was like, you know what? This sounds like a lot of work. This sounds like a little more work than I'm really interested in participating in, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in trying to document things, moments in our life. We get so caught up in trying to take that selfie or get that picture or that video that we forget to actually enjoy the moment. We forget. There's this great picture, and I can't remember what it was from, but there was a bunch of young people at an event, and they all had their phones out, and they were, you know, clicking away and taking selfies and videos and all of that. And there's this one elderly woman there. She looks to be, you know, late 70s, early 80s. And she's sitting there, and she's just watching the event. And I think a lot of times we just forget that that's really the most important thing, is to sit there and actually absorb and be a part of the event instead of trying to be on the periphery. I would much rather watch the eclipse with my wife than through the viewfinder of a camera. Because when you do that, you are disassociated from the event itself. Now, I used to be a news photographer, videographer, although for some reason, they don't recognize that word. I used to be a news videographer. I would go out in the field and I would cover news events. And I've seen a lot of things in my life, some things pleasant, some things not. I could look at anything through that viewfinder and not be affected by it. Anything. And I mean anything, folks. I've seen a lot of horrible stuff being a news photographer. But I could look at anything through that lens and not be affected by it, because you're distanced from it. That lens, that diopter, that viewfinder separates you from the event, physically and emotionally. Had I just walked up on some of the scenes that I have been witness to in my life, had I just stumbled across these scenes in real person, in real time, it would have shaken me to the core. But the fact that I was behind that viewfinder, it didn't have an effect on me. in both good and bad situations. So I'm not going to take pictures. I'm not going to take pictures during this event. At least I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing it. I might take a picture of that little thing with the sun going through the trees and all that. But other than that, I'm just going to enjoy the moment because it's not going to come back again. Not in my lifetime. And I certainly don't want to miss it because I'm behind a camera.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Coming up at 8:10 this morning, going to be giving away tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Yep, two tickets to Thursday at the Joe coming up on the 17th as the Charleston River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive. So be listening out for that. That's going to be at 8:10 this morning. Of course, we had a fantastic time at WTMA Suite Night with the River Dogs on Saturday night. That was a load of fun. I tell you what, those jerseys that they had, basically what they were celebrating their Saturday night, and we all got to be a part of that, was everything that they have done this year at the Joe. Everything that they have done. They had the tie-dye theme on the jersey. Now, all of this was on one jersey. The tie-dye theme, they had the silly string, they had the slime from Nickelodeon. It was absolutely fantastic. Those jerseys were really a sight to behold, and they were able to raise a good bit of money auctioning off those jerseys. So good for those folks out there at the Joe. Again, 8:10 this morning, we'll be giving away tickets to the game on the 10 days from now, on August the 17th. All right, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not sure if I were given a free trip to Australia, I would go. But I would certainly be careful because it's obvious that everything in Australia wants to kill you, right? I mean, they've got the most venomous snakes in the world. They've got the most venomous spiders in the world. They have a thing there called the Irukandji, which is a box jellyfish. It's no bigger than your thumbnail, and you can't even see it. But the tentacles can reach out 6 feet long. There was a couple of scientists that went out, and they were trying to document this Irukandji, the box jellyfish, and they were there in the water, and the female doctor had a little tiny gap between her diving glove and her wetsuit. Little tiny gap. She got stung by an Irukandji in that one little tiny gap. So her husband had a little gap between his, I guess the head covering there, the mask, the hoodie, if you will, and his respirator right there on his lip. Guess what? He got stung on the lip. Both of them stung by this Irukandji jellyfish. And they were in convulsions so hard that she cracked her ribs and he cracked his teeth. Oh, yeah, let's go to Australia. Let's go. Everything wants to kill you. Well, now we have something that might want to kill you there in Australia, and we don't know what it is. So there was this teenager who is recovering in the hospital after he was left with blood streaming from his feet and ankles following a nighttime paddle in the ocean. Sam Kinnazay had waded waist deep into the ocean at Brighton Beach in Melbourne on Saturday evening, and he was in the water for about 30 minutes. He said when he got out of the sea, he discovered that he was bleeding profusely from the calves down. Now, he said that the cold water there numbed his legs, and he felt like pins and needles. Pins and needles is what it felt like. So he got out of the water. He was bleeding from the calves down. The bleeding wouldn't stop. He said it looked like hundreds of little pinholes or pin-sized bites all over his ankle and the top of his foot. Washing the blood off in the shower didn't stop the bleeding. He was taken to the hospital, and his father scooped out some of these. They say it could have been what's called sea lice. Sea lice? Really? We got to worry about that now? Like, we don't have enough to be concerned about? So, sea lice, but nobody really has any idea what it was. His father scooped out some of the sea creatures out of the water and posted a video of them online eating small chunks of meat. I don't know what the meat was from, but okay, fine. Some people say it was stingrays or jellyfish for the injuries. Wow. So this guy, Jeff Weir from the Dolphin Research Institute, said the likely culprit was probably opportunistic amphipods. Well, that makes me feel better. Tiny crustaceans that latch on to decaying plant or animal matter to help it break down. He said, they're not here to eat us. Well, sir, apparently they are. If they are doing it, then that's what they're here for. He said, sometimes they might take a little bit, like mosquitoes and leeches and other things, there in their environment. Anyway, that's just... Others say it may have been jellyfish or jellyfish larvae or stingrays. Gee whiz. Good gracious. Yeah, let's go to Australia. Hello, mate. Come to Australia, where everything wants to kill you. That ought to be their official slogan. Welcome to Australia. Do your best to stay alive. WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
If you're traveling Folly Road overnight this week, you need to know about a project that's going on. They're going to have nightly lane closures planned on Folly Road near River Point Row. Work and closures are expected to happen from 10 at night to 6 in the morning. It's going to take about 10 days, and it's part of this ongoing project to improve the intersection of Folly Road and Camp Road. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And also, school is starting back. And I just can't say it enough. I do not understand why here we are in 2017 and we still don't know that it is illegal to pass a school bus. You cannot do it. Oh, you can pass a school bus, but when they're stopped and that swing arm is out and the stop sign is deployed on those school buses, do not pass that school bus. So going to break down, and coming up at 8:20 this morning, we'll be talking about exactly what you need to look at for school buses out there, because school's starting back and we got a lot of college students that are moving into town for I cannot tell you how many suitcases I saw this weekend walking around downtown. We just had suitcase after suitcase after suitcase. And there was this one dad, I felt so sorry for him. He was just covered in sweat. He was covered in sweat. I guess he was helping his daughter move into her apartment downtown. And he was, the look on his face was just like, why am I doing this? I'm not going to college. Why am I out here doing all of this? So there you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. We got some municipal elections that are going to be held in the Tri-County area coming up on November the 7th, and candidates have to file to run this month. So if you are in Charleston County and you want to run for office for some reason, the filing period for candidates running for six city council seats in even-numbered districts and one commissioner of public works seat opens at noon today and ends on August the 21st. Over in Mount Pleasant, the filing period for mayor, four town council seats, and one Mount Pleasant waterworks seat opens at noon on the 14th. So that is 1 week from today, and it closes on the 25th. Over on Isle of Palms, the filing period for being the mayor over there and four city council seats and one water and sewer commission seat has already started. It closes on September 5th. Now, let's see, who else? Monk's Corner, the filing period for candidates running for four town council seats and the Commissioner of Public Works has already started. That closes on the 15th. So there you go. Oh, and out in Somerville, filing for three town council seats and two public works seats starts at noon on Wednesday and ends on September the 8th. So if you're looking at running for office, again, for some reason, those are your filing deadlines. You can check those out online, too. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Speaking of people who are running for office, it looks like Mark Sanford is going to have another opponent, if you will, for his first congressional seat here in South Carolina. And again, I don't know what it's going to take to unseat somebody like Mark Sanford. You know, everybody, I mean, I get a lot of people calling in on this show. They complain about Mark Sanford. However, when it comes to time to get into that voting booth, he always seems to come out on top. The same with Lindsey Graham. Same with Lindsey Graham. The amount of money that it takes to unseat an incumbent is absolutely astronomical. I mean, you got to imagine the war chest that these people that have been in office for a while, the amount of money that they wrap up with. Because once you get in office, and it's like you got a day, you're there, and they say, all right, this is your office, and congratulations. The next day, you got to start working on campaigning. You got to start working on fundraising. Because if you don't, you're going to be behind the eight ball. Now, we are seeing that, of course, the governor's race, that's going to be coming up. Now, Governor McMaster has a pretty good war chest so far, but Catherine Templeton is doing very well in fundraising in that race, too. So that's going to be an interesting race that we're going to be having here in South Carolina for to see who our next governor is going to be, because, you know, McMaster took over after Nikki Haley was appointed UN ambassador to the United Nations. Now, speaking of that, the UN Security Council unanimously voted tough new sanctions Saturday to punish North Korea for its escalating nuclear and missile program, including a ban on coal and other exports worth about $1 billion. And that is a lot of money. That's, Nikki Haley called the resolution the single largest economic sanctions package ever levied against North Korea. So why did this happen? I mean, how did North Korea actually get these nuclear weapons? Well, Bill Clinton.
Before I take your questions, I'd like to say just a word about the framework with North Korea that Ambassador Gallucci signed this morning. This is a good deal for the United States. North Korea.
All right, remember, it's a good deal for the United States.
North Korea will freeze and then dismantle its nuclear program. South Korea and our other allies will be better protected. The entire world will be safer as we slow the spread of nuclear weapons. South Korea, with support from Japan and other nations, will bear most of the cost of providing North Korea with fuel to make up for the nuclear energy it is losing. And they will pay for an alternative power system for North Korea that will allow them to produce electricity while making it much harder for them to produce nuclear weapons. The United States and international inspectors will carefully monitor North Korea to make sure it keeps its commitments.
How'd that work out? Pretty good? That worked out pretty good, didn't it? No, well, I mean, I think everything is fine. I mean, the fact that North Korea now has a missile that can reach Denver. Oh, that's pretty good, right? Way to go, William. Appreciate that. That worked out fantastic. And now we've got this nuclear threat from North Korea, all because none of this was followed up on. Where were the inspections? Where were the nuclear inspectors going into North Korea to make sure they weren't developing a nuclear weapon? Where were they? Where have they been since Bill Clinton gave this speech? How did they get this nuclear capability? Well, because we gave them the damn uranium. Same thing that we have done with Iran. It's the same deal. Iran's now got, I'm sure they're not far from getting a nuclear weapon. Remember with all that money that we sent, those pallets full of money in the middle of the night that went over to Iran? And remember, that was a good deal for America, too. Oh, and it was a better deal for Israel. Yeah, they're really going to blow. They were just days. They were moments away. Oh, they're just about there. They've just about got a nuclear weapon. Trying to scare you into thinking that this was a great deal. Well, it wasn't a great deal. We're going to be in the same boat very shortly with Iran as we are right now with North Korea. And I don't think the world is scared enough about Kim Jong-un and his nuclear capability in North Korea. They can hit the United States now. they can hit Denver. Now, remember, they don't. All you have to do, and this has long been a thing, all you have to do is drop nuclear weapons on the west coast of the United States. Now, the nuclear weapons are going to do a tremendous amount of damage. However, the radioactive fallout is going to blanket this country, would blanket this country if that were to ever happen. Now, it would mean the absolute end of North Korea, but Kim Jong-un doesn't think like that. That's not how the little chubby kid over there in North Korea thinks. He thinks he's going to be able to destroy the United States completely, and he said that. He not only thinks it, he says it. So why haven't we gotten tougher? And why is it now all of a sudden up to President Trump to handle this situation? What happened over the past 8 years with Obama? We'll go back even further than that. What happened the 8 years with Bush? What happened with Clinton in his last term? So now we've got a very serious nuclear threat to the United States. All because none of this was followed up on. He's not serious. He's crazy. We're not going to worry about that guy. Meanwhile, he's been crazy like a fox so far. The dangerous times that we live in. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up at 8:10, we're going to be giving away some tickets to go see the River Dogs play there on the 17th. It's going to be a thirsty Thursday night as they take on the Greenville Drive again. And by the way, Saturday night, the River Dogs just put a whomping on Greenville. Ha, ha, ha. I love to see that. I call it the trivalry that we have here in South Carolina, Greenville, Columbia, and us here in Charleston. And it's a lot of fun to watch. So we got that. Also, coming up at 8:20 this morning, Representative Mark Sanford has a challenger for his District 1 seat here in South Carolina. Katie Arrington from Somerville has filed to run against Mark Sanford. We'll give details on that 8:20 this morning on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And I tell you what I got right now. I got two tickets to Thirsty Thursday out of the Joe coming up on the 17th as the River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive. And we'll take caller number 7. Caller number 7, G-Man, right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 7, going to pick up these two tickets to Thirsty Thursday out at the Joe. And I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. If you don't get a chance to go out to the Joe a lot, this is certainly your opportunity to do that. So G-Man is going to scroll through and get us caller number 7 at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You'll be headed out to the Joe. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun out there. All right. As soon as we get to caller number 7, we will certainly, I want to tell you exactly what you need to know about when you can pass a school bus here in South Carolina. But right now, we're going to caller number 7. Hey, who is this?
This is Bobby.
Bobby, how you doing on this Monday, buddy?
I'm doing great.
I am glad to hear that, Bobby. Congratulations. You're caller number 7. You just picked up two tickets to Thirsty Thursday out of the Joe coming up on the 17th as the River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive. How about that?
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
It sounds like a wonderful idea. You're exactly right. Congratulations, buddy. G-Man is going to get some information from you so that we can get these tickets to you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Now, school's going to be starting back very soon, and that means these buses are going to be out on the road. And it was a couple of years ago, and they follow up just about every year over there at News 2. Brad Franco went out, and he sat in a police cruiser with one of our wonderful law enforcement officers, and they were just documenting how many people illegally pass school buses. Now, this is a very dangerous situation for our children. So you need to know exactly when you need to stop for a school bus. So here's a pretty easy thing to remember. On a two-lane road, travelers in both directions have to stop. On a two-lane road, travelers in both directions have to stop. Now, if you are on four or more lanes, then the motorist who are traveling in the same direction as the bus, you got to stop. All right? You have to stop. If you are traveling in the opposite direction, you do not have to stop. So two-lane road, everybody has to stop. On a four or more lane road, everybody traveling in the same direction as the bus has to stop. But folks on the other side of the road do not have to stop. All right? So that is from the Department of Public Safety here in South Carolina. So just remember that. First offense is $500 and 6 points. The second offense is $2,000 and 6 points on your license. Now, there was some discrepancy. There were some people that were trying to fight this, saying, I wasn't driving that car. I had loaned that car to a friend. Well, now they're going to start ticketing the owner of the car. If that car is registered to you, it doesn't matter who's driving. Your friend, your uncle, your nephew, your aunt, your great-granddaddy, whatever. If they are driving that car and they illegally pass a school bus and they get it and you get caught for it, the owner of that car, who it's licensed to, you're going to be responsible for that. Now, that's pretty hefty. $500 and 6 points on your license. That means your insurance is going to go up. Second offense is going to be $2,000 and 6 points on your license. So make sure that you and everybody that's driving knows exactly when and when you cannot pass a school bus. Because we want to make sure our little children out there are as healthy and happy as they can be when they're headed to and from school.
1250 WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:19, 19 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Looks like Congressman Mark Sanford is going to have an opponent in 2018 after all. State Representative Katie Arrington out of Somerville filed the necessary paperwork on Friday with the Federal Elections Commission to launch a campaign against Mark Sanford here in South Carolina's 1st Congressional District. Now, Arrington, who snagged 72% of the vote when she was elected to the State House in 2016, filed her statement for candidacy documents on Friday. Her run will likely free up her State House seat for a Republican primary in House District 94. Reading from the Post and Courier here, Arrington did not respond to messages from the Post and Courier on Saturday, but Michael Mulay confirmed that the announcement is forthcoming. Now, there's going to be another person running against Mark Sanford, and that is going to be a Democrat. Joe Cunningham also announced plans to run for Sanford in 2018. So, there we go. Now, we were talking with Brady Quirk Garvin the other day, as far as South Carolina elections are concerned. And I ask him because so far no Democrat has filed to run for governor of South Carolina. Well, he said, be on the lookout because there's that they're going to be making an announcement very soon. And I will certainly imagine that the Democrats are going to have to put somebody up there to run for the governor's office here in South Carolina, because right now you're seeing the majority of governorships here in the United States held by Republicans. And right now, you know, we had the Governor Justice up in West Virginia. He switched from being a Democrat to being a Republican the other day at that rally for President Trump.
My mom and dad were staunch lovers of Ronald Reagan, staunch Republicans. My mom and dad are no question in my mind in heaven right now, and they're both saying the same thing, but my mom is saying it more profoundly, and that is she's saying, Jimmy, It's about damn time you came to your senses.
So that was his switch from the Democrat. He said he could no longer serve West Virginians as a Democrat governor. And, of course, that giving, like I said, the Republicans a vast majority of governorships here in the United States. So not really sure how. I don't know what the Democrats are thinking right now, because as much as a danger as they are very unorganized. And we heard that they finished out July at about $3 million in debt. So the DNC nationally is broke. Now, this is something that Hillary Clinton had told us a while back. Remember when she was making all those excuses about why she lost the presidency? One of those excuses was that the Democrats are broke. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any way to really support her fully. Of course, all the meanwhile, you know, not taking any responsibility for losing. It's going to be interesting. I'm not going to read the book because, I mean, I know what happened. You know, Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened. She's going to tell us what happened. And I think we all know what happened is she ran a horrible campaign. I don't know how you could really justify that, but it'll be interesting to see. So tweets out there this morning. Yesterday, last night, this is really Pastor Thomas Dixon on his Facebook page, on his Twitter page. Pastor is what his Facebook page says. Pastor Thomas Dixon is a tireless advocate for social justice with the message that the power of government rests in the hands of people, not the politicians. Really? Do you really think Democrats believe that the power of government rests in the people? No, they want as big a government as they can possibly get. Well, here's a tweet that he put out last night. You're not going to believe this. This is pretty interesting to see, especially, you know, somebody actually out there putting their this on their Twitter page. He said, are you ready? He said that the government, he said, South Carolina is like an infected pimple. Painful, sore, and red. One day, that pimple's gonna burst, and all blank, blank, blank. So South Carolina is like an infected pimple. Yeah, I know. It's pretty disgusting, isn't it, kids? Pretty disgusting. So, he paints a pretty picture. You know, he's very eloquent. I mean, that's practically poetry right there. I think we ought to make Pastor Thomas Dixon the poet laureate for South Carolina. I mean, when you can spin words like that together, holy cow, that's amazing. Speaking of spinning words together, Wendell Gilyard posted something. I tell you, I love to watch it, to look at Wendell's post, because I just feel like he types like he talks, you know, and it's never very it's never very pretty. So, all right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. 556-1250. We'd love to talk to you. So Wendell Gilyard posted this on his Facebook page. I got to read this to you because it's pretty darn funny. Let me try to get this here. Oh, I hope I can get it. Where is it? Oh, well. Okay. Charleston is overdeveloped. Charleston is overdeveloped. Wake up, people. It's time for a long moratorium. We shouldn't be afraid to do the right thing. They're talking about the gentrification issue here in Charleston, as this young lady did a report, and he was responding to that. So I thought it was pretty funny. And he said Charleston is overdeveloped. Well, there you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Coming up. Of course, we've been talking about the governor's race here in South Carolina. We'll give you a little more information on that. And also, remember that fair ride? I think it was up in Ohio that broke. Now, this was a company that really services, also rides at the fair that we have up in Lansing. the same rides. And this ride broke the other day. One person was killed. Seven people were injured pretty seriously. Well, now they say they know the reason for the malfunction of that ride. So we'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Let's see here. There was a meeting the other night. Well, here's what they're looking at doing. You know, Mount Pleasant growing leaps and bounds. This story is out of the Post and Courier. Illustrating the broad concerns about growth and development in this fast-growing town, a whopping 250 residents have volunteered for a steering committee to draft the next comprehensive plan. Now, the town is going to cut it down to about 30. And they say that that the goal is to create a 10-year plan on the basis for land use decisions for East Cooper community. Towns and cities in South Carolina create new ones every decade and update them every couple of years. So the hope is that the government over there in Mount Pleasant is actually going to listen to the residents. But you have to wonder if they're actually going to do that, or are they pretty much under the control of developers over there? Because right now, I mean, go over there and take a look at it. Ride up 17 and see what's going on. It's like they're absolutely trying to destroy everything that brings people here to the Lowcountry. Bob is in North Charleston. How are you, Bob?
I'm wonderfully well.
Good, good. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I thought that I had seen the ultimate stupid one when I saw Nancy Pelosi make that statement about health care. Let's pass it and we'll find out what's in it.
That's right, yeah.
But I have seen someone that's really stupider. And that is Maxine Waters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's horrible. She is absolutely horrible.
And I've come to one conclusion at this time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
What is that?
You can't fix stupid.
No, you cannot fix stupid. What is? I think the quote is, it's hard to win it's hard to win an argument with a smart person, but it's darn near impossible to win an argument with a stupid person.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
If you are a Miami Dolphins fan, oh, by the way, the NFL's coming up. That is screaming towards opening day for the NFL officially. And if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, much like Darius Rucker is, our neighbor Darius Rucker, you'll be glad to know that they have signed quarterback Jay Cutler to take over after Ryan Tannehill had his knee injury. This is reported by folks that are in the know. Now, here's the deal. He's going to get a one-year contract worth $10 million before incentives. So here's how that goes. 1 year, $5 million base, $5 million in bonuses, and up to $3 million more in incentives. So the potential for Jay Cutler to get $13 million for 1 year. 1 year. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It sounds good to me. So, why aren't the folks on the left screaming about this? Why don't they scream about that? I mean, if you are a CEO of a major corporation and you make $13 million a year, you're obviously evil. You're obviously horrible. You're a wicked, awful individual making $13 million. What is the matter with you? Nobody deserves to make $13 million. You know, Beyonce made $72 million last year. Yeah, well, she deserves it. No, she's got talent. That's okay. That's okay for, well, it's okay for her and for Jay-Z to make all of this money. It's okay for these NFL quarterbacks to make a ton of money. And listen, you make the money, I'm fine. I'm good with that. I'm just trying to highlight to you how the left feels about money. They don't care if you're a quarterback and you make $13 million a year. They don't care if you're a left fielder and you make $20 million a year. They don't care if you're a rapper that makes $20 million a year. They don't care if you're an actor that gets $20 million per movie. That they don't care about. But if you're the CEO of an evil capitalistic corporation, now they have some concerns. Now they're upset. See, it doesn't matter if you are Beyonce and you're performing for $20 million or $72 million a year. But if you are the CEO of the corporation that owns the record label that Beyonce works for, well, now we got a problem. Now they got a problem. It's not the money. It's who makes the money. That's all they care about on the left. They don't care that you make all that money. It's just who does it. Evil, awful CEOs, capitalists, blah. They can't stand you for making money. So here's what they ought to do. Oh, I got it. I got an idea. So if you're the CEO of a major corporation and you make, we'll say, $20 million a year, what you need to do is put out a rap album, okay? And then have the company pay you for that rap album. How about that? And then, you know, you'll be justified, right? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Oh, and speaking of Jay Cutler being signed by the Miami Dolphins, you know who was not signed by the Miami Dolphins that everybody got upset about? Well, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, he was not signed. And, of course, this is horrible, horrible racism that is going on. Horrible racism. Here's a guy that refused to stand. Now, I'm a little mixed on this, and I'll tell you why here in a second. Here's a guy that refused to stand for the national anthem when it was played, even though, you know, he is paid by the good citizens of this great country. He doesn't have the respect to even stand for the anthem here. And he chose to take a knee. And we all remember that big debacle, right? We all remember everybody was in an uproar over that, and rightfully so. So why would a now what is the role of a quarterback? Seriously, what's the role? If we boil it all down, what is the role of these quarterbacks in the NFL? One role only. Put butts in seats. That's it. That's your job. Make sure people are tuning into that game when you play, and make sure that people are coming out to that game and spending money at the stadiums when you play. That's it. That's your job. It doesn't matter how many points you score. It doesn't matter what, you know, your running average. It doesn't matter where your statistics are. If you're putting butts in seats, that makes you valuable. Sorry. People don't want to show up to see Colin Kaepernick take a knee during a game. He's not putting butts in seats. So therefore, he goes from being an asset to a liability. And there's no team out there that wants that liability right now. Now, we'll say this. I think we got a little too upset over Kaepernick not taking a knee during the national anthem. And it's not because I agree with his stance, but it's just a little bit disingenuous to me, where you've got a guy that will not take a knee, will not stand for the national anthem. He is vilified, and rightfully so. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been. He's vilified. But you get drug users, you get people on steroids, you get people accused of domestic violence, people accused of assault and battery, people accused of rape, people accused of murder. You get all these people that are able to play in the NFL, and we don't seem to make a whole lot of stink about that. That's one of the reasons I don't watch the NFL, because I choose not to watch those people.
1250 WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
If you are a fan of Game of Thrones and you did not see last night's episode yet, and you DVR'd it, no spoilers here. I'm not going to be giving any spoilers because I hate when people do that. I really do. But if you are a fan of Game of Thrones and you're planning on watching it today or tomorrow or what have you, let me just say this. Wow. You are in for I don't know if the word treat is actually the appropriate term to use here. Let's just say don't watch it before you go to bed, because you're going to stay up for at least an hour going, oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw. I can't believe it. Oh, it was. I'm going to do an impression of my wife when the credits rolled last night. Ah! That's what she did. She was so mad that the show was over that she was none too happy. None too happy last night. A lot of questions remain. A lot of questions remain in this thing. But boy, oh boy, it was something else. Something to see last night on Game of Thrones. You're going to love it. That's just from me to you. You're going to love it. Could you imagine us living in a city where we have an official day where they're asking people not to kill each other? Do you imagine that? You know, maybe Mayor Tecklenburg comes on TV or something like that, and he's got a, hey, this is Mayor John Tecklenburg. Coming up this weekend in Charleston, we'd like for nobody to kill each other. Would that be okay? Thank you. And you see billboards all over the place. Hey, don't kill nobody. This weekend, don't kill nobody. That would be a real great. Well, that's what they did in Baltimore. Here's what they had. They had a nobody shoot anybody weekend. Nobody shoot anybody weekend. That's what they have had to have. However, some people didn't listen to that. Doggone it. You mean all that money spent on advertising for the nobody shoot anybody weekend did not pay off? Nope. One man, 24 years old, was one of two people who were shot and killed during Baltimore's nobody shoot anybody weekend. Yeah. Baltimore's activist attempt for a murder-free weekend. Your attempt for a murder-free weekend. That's the thing. You gotta try to, I got an idea. Let's see if we can have nobody kill anybody this weekend. That'll be a great thing. So their attempt for a murder-free weekend proved to be a little bit too much to ask for, with at least three people shot, two of them killed in less than 72 hours since guns were ordered to be put down. Activist Erica Bridgeford promoted the campaign as a Baltimore ceasefire and Nobody Kill Anybody weekend that started on Friday and ended last night. Of course, it garnered support of thousands on social media since May. They've been planning this thing since May. They've been planning this Nobody Kill Nobody weekend since May. They've been doing this. The city made it through Friday with no shootings. Fingers were crossed. They were on the edge of their seats. So they drew hope from participants that the campaign might lead to some success. But by Saturday, two men, 24 and 37, were shot and killed in separate incidents just hours apart. Some participants gathered at the scene of the shooting to comfort relatives and neighbors. On Sunday morning, one person took to Facebook to ensure Baltimore residents that the ceasefire has not ended. Okay, well, I would have think when somebody got shot and killed on the Nobody Kill Nobody weekend, that would have meant that the ceasefire had indeed ended. I said, if you're going to run here acting defeated, a part of me wants to give you this nub to your eye and then to hug you, and B, you are not ready for this revolution. It's fine, but please sit down and quiet yourself. Stop panicking out loud. Find a corner and watch us keep getting this. What the hell is this thing she's writing here on her Facebook page? So Baltimore, of course, we know has been, you know, tormented with gun violence for several years. The city saw 204 murders by the end of July. That's a record number in the city's history. Organizers of the Nobody Shoot Anybody weekend said that though the weekend may end in deaths, the goal was to unify the city. Oh, no, the goal is for nobody to shoot nobody. How about that? It's not to unify the city. The goal is for nobody to shoot nobody. More than 30 events were planned for the weekend, and yesterday's activities were expected to continue despite the shooting deaths. Well, there you go. It's pretty sad when a community has to have a nobody shoot nobody weekend. Hey, Mount Pleasant. How y'all doing over there with the Nobody Don't Shoot Nobody weekend? How about that? I think it worked pretty well over there. And this is, I mean, my gosh. We're talking about Baltimore with some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. And they've got one of the highest homicide rates in the country. That correlation alone really tells you a lot that these gun control measures, that these nuts out there that want to take away your Second Amendment, they just don't work. The only thing these people are trying to do is take away your rights as a legal, responsible gun owner. That's all they want to do. They want to make sure that you don't have guns. Now, the bad guys are going to get them, period. They're going to, well, hell, they have already got them. They've already got them. So, and it's always been my contention that if you want to stop gun violence, you start putting people away that use guns for a long, long time. And this just doesn't resonate, obviously, to the folks on the left. They want to have campaigns that May, June, July, August. So this is a three-month program where they were trying to tell people not to kill anybody. And I would love to see, here's what I would like to see. I want to see how much money they spent on promoting this campaign in Baltimore. I want to know how much money that they spent trying to get this word out for Nobody Shoot Anybody weekend. How much was it? But that's just it. If you really want to cut down on the amount of people who are illegally using guns, number one, start putting them away for a long time. Well, our jails are overcrowded. Our jails are overcrowded, Charlie. We just can't do it. Then build more. Whenever people try to run this country down, they say, you know, the United States has more people incarcerated than any other country on the planet. And my response to that is, good. Maybe we just enforce the laws a little bit more than anybody on this planet. How about that? We don't just give people, well, we're starting to, just give them a slap on the wrist, and send them on their way. But the fact that they have to have that, all right, here's what needs to happen. The mayor needs to go. Probably the police chief needs to go. And we need to start replacing some of these activist judges that are on the bench in Baltimore and places like that. Get them off the bench. Get some good law and order judges on the bench, not these social justice warriors, these activist judges that are on the bench letting these people go. And we need to start seriously pulling funding from sanctuary cities. Absolutely, 100%. I think Jeff Sessions is right about that. We've got to pull funds. Oh, you don't want to abide by federal law. Okay. Well, then you're not going to be cashing that federal check. But we allow it to be done time and time again. Because it's just the right thing to do, Charlie. It's just the right thing to do. No, the right thing to do is have law and order. And if you don't have that, then society breaks down and we get what we get. We get what we've got in Chicago. We get what we've got in Baltimore. We get what we get in D.C. And in New York City is actually becoming a fairly... Who would have thought that D.C. or New York would have been considered... New York City would have been considered one of the safer places in the country to go. I mean, at one time, you know, that was, you know, Times Square was a hellhole. And now it's actually a pretty nice place. Unless you get accosted by a naked illegal immigrant in this country. So what these people are doing, I don't know if you guys heard this story. There are these women in Times Square in New York that are painting, they're nude. They are nude, but they paint themselves with body paint. They paint themselves with body paint. And they charge people to take pictures with them while they're wearing this body paint. They're illegal immigrants. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. They're illegal aliens. That is the approved government term for these people. They are illegal aliens. And they are naked, and they are having their picture taken with tourists. The police in Times Square will not arrest them. They will not, even though they know, well, first of all, I don't know where they would carry their ID, but putting that aside, they know that the vast majority of these women that are painting themselves in body paint and are actually nude, they know that they're illegal aliens, but they won't arrest them. Why? Because Mayor de Blasio says, we don't want to deport these people. If we arrest them, then they might be deported. I thought that was the whole point.